He instead turned his mind to the gossip Kesmir had passed along, for even the weight of Eve's head resting against his thigh was insufficient to distract him from that bit of news. According to the talk in the clubs, Dean's profligate raking on three continents, or was it four, considering that Turkey was part of Asia, had left him with unfortunate health consequences that could potentially disfigure or even end the life of any Marchioness of Dean. The effects of disease, nobody used the specific word syphilis, had been evident in the late Lord Dean too, hadn't they? A wicked temper, unfettered spending, intemperate drink. That such characteristics were common to many an ageing peer was apparently beyond the grasp of the average gossip, and in truth, such rumours were only bothersome in passing. The ones intimating Dean was close to financial ruin were the more difficult to bear. Coming as they did upon the very opening of the season in which Dean sought to take a wife, there could be only one possible source of such malice. And before too much more time had passed, Dean intended to make Jonathan Dolan pay for every nasty, sly, vulgar lie ever to pass the man's lips. Jenny stared at the apple in her hand.
"I am disloyal for saying so, but I am enjoying this respite without Mamma and Papa. With just us and Aunt Gladys here, it's peaceful."
Eve paused halfway through paring the skin from another piece of fruit.
"You aren't disloyal, you're honest. Mamma is probably saying the very same thing to Papa about us as we speak."
Louisa was demolishing her apple in audible bites.
"Eve's right, and this way I get to spend another couple of weeks rusticating with my dear Joseph. Do we have enough for the last pie?"
Eve eyed the pile of peeled and sliced apples before her. She generally avoided association with apples, but the Wyndham daughters enjoyed a secret fondness for cooking, and her sister's choice today had been pies.
"Do we really need seven pies? Five will do if the bounty is limited to us and the senior house staff."
Jenny set her apple down.
"Six allows us to spare one for Kesmore."
"So our heathen offspring can smear it in one another's hair?" Louisa got off her stool and started untying her apron.
"Eve, why don't you take the remaining slices down to the stable? Jenny can come with me to surrender the pie to the vandal horde in my nursery."
Which horde, Eve simply lacked the fortitude to deal with cheerfully today.
"I'll clean up here, in any case."
They didn't argue with her, which was a mercy. Kesmore had seen Eve's face, splotchy and pink. He'd all but galloped off to avoid the awkwardness of her loss of composure, or perhaps he'd meant to spare her feelings. It hardly mattered. Since arriving to Moorland several days ago, Eve had slept a great deal, stared off into space almost as much, and taken a few long walks. And when she walked, she remembered to be grateful for the ability, but she also found her peace punctuated by odd thoughts. Canby had referred to her repeatedly as Eve the Temptress. At the time, she thought it made her sound grown up, alluring and mysterious. In hindsight, the implication that she was responsible for his behaviour, that she'd caused him to violate every rule of decency, was infuriating. Apples could be infuriating by association. At services, Eve had volunteered to attend the children in the nursery, and this time, she'd looked at all those boisterous, healthy children with their clean faces and broad smiles, and considered that her life would be devoid of the blessings of motherhood. For the rest of her life, while her sisters were raising up children, and her brothers were raising up children, and her cousins were raising up children, she would be childless. That was infuriating, too. And now Louisa and Jenny would hop into the gig and tool over to Kesmore's without a backward thought for their safety, their nerves, their ability to cope with a darting hare or approaching storm. Eve loved her family, but still, there was much to be angry about. She scooped up the apple slices that hadn't gone into a pie and wrapped them in a cloth. The day was a pretty day. She was in good health and had the afternoon to herself. She'd try not to be angry about that, too. Meteor was in his paddock, one shared by an aging pony named Grendel. They paused in their grazing as Eve approached, but only Meteor sidled over to the fence.
"Hello, old friend."